The Committee on Public Integrity and Elections will come to order. Sanjay, please call the roll.
Representative Perez.
Here.
Representative Smith.
Here.
Representative Thompson. Representative Bartleman.
Yes.
Brannon.
Here.
Byrd. Clemens. Daly, excused. Graw.
Here.
Ingoglia. Killebrew. Coster.
Here.
Lamarca.
Here.
Roach.
Present.
Sivers.
Here.
Stevenson, excused. Tant.
Here.
Valdez.
Present.
A quorum is present, sir.
Thank you, Sanjay. Members, please remember to put your phones on silent as we start this meeting. Today we have two member bills to consider. The first one's going to sound familiar to you all. If you remember, last week we voted to approve HB 301 as a committee substitute. However, by the House rules, specifically 7.11D, we didn't have that authority. The amendment barcode 664549, which we adopted, amended the relating to clause. And the rule states that when a bill's relating to clause is amended, the bill shall be temporarily postponed without motion after the amendatory process. And that's exactly what we're going to do today. So the bill then will be considered at a later meeting, which is today, if noticed as a proposed committee substitute, which Representative Roach has done. And so we provided that notice for today's meeting, and we are going to start with that set of bills and amendments. So Representative Roach, you are recognized to explain PCS for HB 301.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members, this is the same bill you heard exactly 1 week ago today. You voted unanimously to pass this bill out of committee. As the chairman mentioned, we had to change the title and relating to clause, and we have done that. And I also have, Mr. Chairman, you know, never missing an opportunity for further improvement, we have two additional amendments that I'd like to present to the committee.
Let's get straight to the amendment, Representative Roach. Amendment one, the floor is yours.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chairman. Amendment one was recommended by the Ethics Commission staff to clarify that the local officers will continue to certify to their ethics training on their new Form 6 filings. This is a switch from Form 1 and Section 3, inadvertently removed that requirement. We didn't intend to do that.
It's on the bill.
The amendment also makes the section requiring Form 6 for those officers effective on January 1st, 2023. That's Amendment 1, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions, members, on Amendment Number 1? Seeing none, is there any public testimony? Seeing none, members in debate. Members in debate. Seeing none, all members in favor of Amendment 1 by Representative Roach, please say yay.
Yay.
All opposed? See the amendment adopted. Let's move on to Amendment Number 2, Representative Roach. You are recognized.
Thank you, Chairman. Amendment 2 just changes the general effective date for the bill to upon becoming law. As a result, Section 1 is effective on April 1st, Section 2 is effective on January 1st, 2023, and Section 3 of the bill will be effective upon becoming law. That is the Amendment 2, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Any questions of the representative on this second amendment? Any questions, members? Seeing none, is there any public testimony? Seeing none, members in debate. Any members wishing to debate? Seeing none, all members in favor of Amendment Number 2 by Representative Roach, please say yay.
Yay.
All opposed? See the amendment adopted. We are back on the bill, members. We are back on the bill. Any questions on the bill as amended? Seeing none, any public testimony on the bill as amended? None. Members in debate, any members wishing to debate? None. Sanjay, please call the roll.
Representative Perez.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Smith.
Yes.
Representative Bartleman.
Yes.
Brannon.
Yes.
Byrd.
Yes.
Clemens.
Yes.
Daly, excused. Graw.
Yes.
Ingoglia.
Yes.
Killebrew.
Yes, ma'am.
Coster.
Yes.
Lamarca.
Yes.
Roach.
Yes.
Silvers.
Yes.
Stevenson, excuse. Tant.
Yes.
Valdez.
Yes.
The bill passes, sir.
Thank you, Sanjay. Congratulations, Representative Roach. Your bill has passed. We're going to go straight into HJR 1127, limiting subject of constitutional amendments proposed by citizen initiatives by Representative Mike Beltran. Representative Beltran, the floor is yours to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you for you all for taking the time to hear my legislation this morning. This House joint resolution provides that subject matters of initiative amendments to the Constitution shall be limited to matters relating to procedural subjects or the structure of the government or of the Florida Constitution. We have a written constitution in Florida that provides for limited government, separation of powers, individual liberty, and most importantly, legislative lawmaking. This constitution is a revered document. It's a blueprint for our government. And unfortunately, we've turned our constitution into what's approaching the seventh volume of the Florida statutes. We regulate policy matters and everyday matters best addressed elsewhere. This weakens separation of powers and perils individual liberty, and it puts our Constitution up for auction to out-of-state interests. We normally do bicameralism and presentment. We have both houses, as you all know. We have a committee process, and we have to get past the governor. We have the exact same system at the federal level, and this initiative process short-circuits that, and it short-circuits that a lot of times for special interests. They've used the ballot initiative process to purchase amendments to our Constitution. They hired paid petition gatherers, and we've seen them violate laws that we've passed as recently as last year in 2019, for example, prohibiting payment by signature. That's been violated this year. And I don't think the Constitution should be for sale to special interests to do their policy issues. It should be limited to the legitimate matters for the structure of our government. And that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative. Members, do we have any questions of the sponsor? Any questions of the sponsor? Representative Tant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In regards to the bill, when you talk about the constitutional amendment that can only be proposed relating to procedural subjects or the structure of the government, what do you anticipate that means? I'm not clear on that.
Representative Beltran.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Rep, for the question. So we've seen, for instance, we regulate minimum wage in the Constitution. We regulate offshore drilling. We regulate indoor smoking and vaping, all these things. These are things that should be addressed, but they should be addressed through this body where we have the resources to investigate those policy issues. We go through the committee process. We have the back and forth. We improve a lot of our bills. Some of our bills we bring back the second, third, fourth year sometimes, as all the members are aware of. The committee process works. What we don't have when we do policy through constitutional initiative, we don't have those checks and balances. We don't have the give and take. We don't have the back and forth. We have basically one day or I guess one election, and we pass policy. And we don't have those separation of powers. So things that are policy that can be addressed by the legislature should be addressed by the legislature. If it's something about the structure of the government, then that's something that, you know, we can do that every 2 years at the general election. We can still add protections for individual liberty, separation of powers, structure of government, all those things.
Follow up.
Representative Tant.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So what is an example of the structure of the government you think would be part of this a constitutional amendment or related to the functions of the procedural subjects? So give me an example of what you think would be fall under this new provision.
Sure. So, I'm sorry,
Representative Belcher.
Thank you, Chairman. So, we're as of current interest, we have fair districts, right? We had fair districts. That's a procedural matter. That belongs in the Constitution. It's in the Constitution, and rightly so. We have provisions in the Constitution limiting tax increases. Those are rightly in the Constitution. We amended our Constitution to provide for legislative term limits. And we've also had proposals for school boards and other bodies. Those are properly in the Constitution. Those are things that relate to the structure of the government, the Constitution, and things of that nature.
Representative
Tant? One last question.
Sure, go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In respect to the comments that you made about restricting that the current process flies in the face of our judicial policies, it is my understanding that constitutional amendments must be checked first. It's got to be certified by the courts. So how does this get around? How does our current practice get around the judicial process?
Representative Beltran.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, we do have the Supreme Court review of these initiative amendments. What we don't have is we don't have an administrable standard, which I'm trying to set forth, that decides what things should be in the Constitution and what things are best addressed by the legislature. Currently, the Supreme Court review is basically to make sure that the information on the ballot, which is, by the way, not the entire amendment, it's just a summary, but to make sure that summary is a fair description and it's not misleading and it's complete and informs the voter. It doesn't have any sort of substantive review, which is what I'm proposing today.
Members and questions. Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Representative Beltran. You mentioned minimum wage, you mentioned fair districts, et cetera. How many amendments to the Constitution were presented as legislative proposals?
Representative Beltran.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for the question. There was at least one, which was the double ratification of the amendments on the 2020 ballot. It failed, but there was at least one we passed off for the floor. You and I were there last term, and we passed that. It didn't pass, but we had that. So we've definitely do. We're going to have the CRC repeal. I passed that off the floor last year. We're going to have that on the ballot this November, and hopefully we'll have this. So we do pass every year. There are opportunities through the legislature, and there's, other than the legislature and initiative, there's three other ways to amend the Constitution. Hopefully we take that down to two more, but there are certainly Tax and Budget Reconciliation Commission. We have CRC. We have a number of other ways to amend the Constitution as well.
Representative Thompson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if a bill comes before the legislature year after year after year, and is not acted on favorably, what recourse would citizens have in terms of advancing their issues if your bill were to pass?
You recognize, sir.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, you say the bill comes before the legislature. I don't know if you mean like it fails in committee, it doesn't get agended, it's just filed, doesn't move, or goes to the floor, it gets vetoed. But if a bill gets filed and the chairman and the committee members are not moving that bill, or the presiding officers are not agendaing the bill, the voter has the ultimate recourse, which is provided in our Constitution and in every state in the union: vote us out of office. Because the subtext to your question is that we're not doing what the people want us to do. And the fact of the matter is, most of us were reelected. Most of us who were here last term were reelected. And if we're not doing what the people want and the people need a recourse, they have that recourse every 2 years at the ballot to elect somebody who would better represent them.
Fair answer. Representative Bartleman. She did? Great. Members in questions. Okay, we will go into public testimony. Ida Escamani, on behalf of Florida Immigrant Coalition. She's not here. She waves in opposition. Dr. Rich Templin, Florida AFL-CIO. Mr. Templin, it's always a pleasure to see you. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you so much, Mr. Chairman, and welcome back. Hope you guys are enjoying our brisk, beautiful day here in the capital city. You know, last week, our Senate president said, and I quote, "Over the last 2 years, we have watched the freedoms of our friends and relatives in other states get stripped away one at a time. Florida is different. Florida is special. And if we work together, we can keep Florida a beacon of hope, opportunity, and freedom." Our governor told all of you that we are a vanguard for protecting our rights and freedoms. Article 11, Section 3 of the Constitution clearly states the power to propose the revision or amendment of any portion or portions of this Constitution by initiative is reserved to the people. Now, I have gone back. This legislation has been filed multiple times over the last decade. And in the past, I went back and researched in the archives to try to get a sense of what the intent of this language was. It was adopted originally in 1968. It was tinkered with by the legislature in 1972, again in 1993, and again in 1998, the legislature. And in each instance, the archives clearly show that the legislative intent behind any changes made to Article 11, Section 3 were to give the voters an opportunity to change the Constitution when the legislative process is not serving them. All of the initiatives that many of you don't like, the minimum wage, felons voting rights, those were all bills. Those were all in front of the legislature year after year after year after year. And the only reason that the citizens went to the Constitution is because they had no choice. And then those citizens voted to make the changes, the same people that vote for you. Since the 2000s, I've counted 48 bills that have been filed to weaken the Citizens Initiative. 14 have passed. We've shortened the time period. We've carved out vast areas of the public square that signatures can't be gathered. We've banned key elements of the signature process. We've raised the threshold for passage. And now we are literally taking the Citizens Initiative away. All of the talk that we had a whole special session not too long ago that was all about rights and freedoms and our constitutional privileges. Now you're taking one away. A major constitutional right is being eliminated. Why? The Constitution belongs to the people. If the people decide that they want to have a minimum wage in the Constitution, it should be their right, and it is their right to do so. We also hear a lot in this process about elites. That's become a word now. Oh, the elites are. And I really enjoy Representative Beltran and his conversations about the Constitution. I like how he talks about it, and I mean that sincerely, sir. But this is elitist. This is a legislative body saying, we know more than the people. We know better than you do. That shouldn't be in the Constitution. Well, if it's the people's Constitution and they want it in there, it should be there. Please vote no on this legislation. Allow the people. It's already so difficult to pass a constitutional initiative. If you guys are worried, and I remember a couple years ago having a long conversation with our statute books opened with Chair Renner. And if you guys want to get the special interests out of this, repeal some of those restrictions that have been placed on over the last 15 years. Because it's those restrictions that have made this so expensive and so difficult to do, so that special interests now are the only ones that can do it. Please vote no on the bill. Thank you for your indulgence, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Barbara Devane from Florida Now waves in opposition. Jonathan Weber, Florida Conservation Voters. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you so much. Good morning. My name is Jonathan Weber. I'm the Deputy Director of Florida Conservation Voters. I urge you to vote no respectfully on HJR 1127. The Citizens Initiative process belongs to the people of Florida, and it has remained immensely popular since the redraft of our Constitution. Time and again, Florida voters of all political persuasions have used the constitutional amendment process to improve their lives. I've never heard anyone outside of this building tell me that they think Floridians have too much power over their own government, nor have I heard anyone say that the people of Florida should forfeit one of our most valuable democratic tools to give more power to the legislature. Even though I've often disagreed with various ballot questions over the years, I still would not throw away this tool. If you're looking for ways to improve the initiative process, I would encourage you start with our campaign finance laws, increase transparency and accountability so that the people of Florida know exactly who is giving money to support each political committee and campaign. The problem is not the tool, it's how it's being used. Please vote no. Thank you so much.
Thank you. David Cullen, Sierra Club. You're recognized, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. David Cullen for Sierra Club, Florida. We too have to oppose this bill. I appreciate the sponsor's comments about the committee process working. Some of you may not know, I am a retired professional parliamentarian, and I understand the importance of the committee process. I even sympathize with a great deal of what he's saying. However, the committee process works, but it is clear that the people of Florida believe that the political process doesn't always work. The passage of environmental protection amendments by wide margins, particularly the land and water amendment, illustrates the disconnect between what the voters want and what the legislature is willing to deliver. And it passed by just a hair shy of 75%. That is a definite disconnect. If, as Dr. Templin said, the Constitution belongs to the people of the state, then they should have the ability to amend it. This bill reduces the agency of individual Floridians. Please vote no.
Thank you, sir. Next, we have Pamela Birch Ford from the Florida State Conference of NAACP Branches, who waves in opposition. Kara Gross, American Civil Liberties Union of Florida, waves in opposition. Karen Woodall, Florida Center for Fiscal and Economic Policy, waves in opposition. Don Scott Jr., Southern Poverty Law Action Center, waves in opposition. Can't read the first name, last name. Yeah. First name starts with a G, last name starts with an A. Waves in opposition. Thank you for being here. Anna Ciureslo from the United Faculty of Miami-Dade College waves in opposition. Good to see you. Rodrigo Lozano, Democratic Labor Caucus, waves in opposition. Evelyn Nazario waves in opposition. Christine St. Louis waves in opposition. Charles Colon waves in opposition. Mary Wynn, League of Women Voters of Florida, waves in opposition. Philip Suderman, Americans for Prosperity, waves in support. Carolyn Johnson, Florida Chamber of Commerce, waves in support. Nucleus Shelton, New Miami-Dade Democratic Labor Caucus, waves in opposition. Teresa McBride, waves in opposition. Maurice Johnson, waves in opposition. Noah Holloman, waves in opposition. Linda Lewis, waves in opposition. Dorothy Jacobs, waves in opposition. Lisa O'Rourke, St. John's Education Association, waves in opposition. Michelle Dillon, St. John's Education Association, waves in opposition. That concludes the public testimony. Members, we're going to get into debate. Any members wishing to debate on the bill? Representative Roach.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Representative Beltran, for bringing the bill. Members of the committee, and I just want to, I'm debating in support of the bill, and I just want to talk about how I believe so much of the opposition for this really belies a fundamental misunderstanding of our structure of government. And I think the folks who oppose this bill are really arguing in favor of a direct democracy, which we don't have. We have a constitutional republic both in the United States and in the state of Florida. And, you know, this argument that we're taking away the ability for the people of Florida to amend their constitution is just flat out wrong. And I would remind members that the state of Florida has more ways to amend their constitution than any other state in the United States and in most countries of the world. We currently have 5 ways to amend the Florida constitution. The Florida constitution has also been amended more times than any other constitution in the United States and more than any other constitution in most countries of the world. It's been amended 144 times in the last 50 years, 4 times in the 2020 election cycle and 11 in the last election cycle in 2018. And you compare that to the U.S. Constitution, which has only been amended 27 times in its 234-year history. So to argue that we are taking away a fundamental ability of people to amend their Constitution, I think is just flat out wrong. And I support the idea of the Constitution being a sacred, sacrosanct document confined to structures of government. And I think it dilutes the importance I think it dilutes the importance of the document when you have these frivolous things like pregnant pigs in the Florida Constitution. With that, I'll stop, Mr. Chairman, but I encourage the members to look at this not on the merits of individual legislation, whether it's environmental or pregnant pigs or whatever else. Look at this as just a structure of our government document in Florida. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the time.
Thank you, Representative. Representative Bartleman.
Yes, thank you, Chair. I believe that this takes away Floridians' freedom to participate in their democracy. This is in our Constitution for a reason. It has been there. And it's for me, it's really democracy at its best for and by the people. Voters should have the freedom to amend their Constitution. It protects their power, their right. If you think about the bills that have gone through this legislature that did not pass but did pass overwhelmingly on the ballot, raising minimum wage, legalizing medical marijuana, a constitutional amendment to preserve and protect our land and water, and it ensured fairness in our political process and in terms of redistricting. This is Florida's government at its best. Voters will have no other recourse when they want to do something for themselves and for the state. I agree with Representative Roach. The pig issue was a little extreme, but when you have an open democracy, when you have the ability to let your voters participate in that democracy, it's not always going to look like what you want it to look like. But the point is having that fair and open process. I also want to point out that the legislature for a number of years has put up hurdles to this process. I like to call them guardrails as well, because I know people in this committee use the term guardrails. And those guardrails were put in place to protect this process. And so I feel that even though I disagree with the guardrails, I feel that they're there for a reason based on the arguments that are being made here today. And the hurdle is huge, 60% of the voters, the amount of signatures. There are so many guardrails in place to ensure that this process is fair and that only the most important topics to the voters of Florida are put on the ballot that I think we should leave it as is. And I'm sorry that I cannot support your bill, but I'm sure you expected that from me. But thank you for presenting today. And again, this is about Floridians' freedom to govern themselves.
Thank you. Representative Valdez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The preamble to the Constitution begins as we the people. And this particular bill is taking the people out of the process. We're limiting the subject of constitutional amendments. So for me, that means that we are reducing what it is that the people's initiatives could be. Now, most of you have heard this story, and I'll repeat it again for those that haven't heard it. Being first-generation American born of Cuban immigrants, I understand what this is trying to do, limiting people's voices. We constantly talk about, we just had a bill passed of committee, I believe it's House Bill 395, which where it is what we are honoring a day of victims of communism. Those that live in communistic countries do not have the opportunity of putting any initiative on a ballot, much less voting. So for me, this hits home tremendously because of my ancestors and because of the things that my family had went through, had gone through. And we live in the United States of America, in the state of Florida, the state that proclaims to be the freest of the land. Yet every which way that we turn, we look at trying to find ways of limiting the people's rights to do what they are entitled to do by the preamble of the Constitution that begins again as we the people. I wonder, would this amendment meet its own criteria? I think not. So unfortunately, I am down on this bill. And again, we are here for we, the people, and this completely goes against the principles of our founding fathers.
Representative Tan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm several years ago, the legislature rose actually up to the threshold to 60% of the voters who had to approve a constitutional amendment. That's based on the general election turnout, which would mean in this year 891,589 signatures, verified signatures. That's a very high threshold and a very high hurdle. There's also the judicial review for single subject. And obviously understanding by everyday Floridians about what's on that ballot initiative. And I'm concerned about the limitations as to what the ballot initiatives could cover. In my view, we are limiting the people's engagement in this process with this bill, and I'm going to be down on it. I would encourage others to as well. Thank you.
Members in debate. Any other members wishing to debate? Representative Beltran, you are free to close.
Thank you, Chairman, and thank you, everyone, for certainly a very robust discussion about our Constitution. Just want to respond to a couple things in public testimony and from my fellow members. We heard someone talk. We heard Rep. Valdez talk about the preamble to the Florida Constitution. It does start with "We the people of the state of Florida." It goes on and says, "Being grateful to Almighty God for our constitutional liberty in order to secure its benefits, protect our government, ensure domestic tranquility, maintain public order, and guarantee equal civil and political rights to all, do ordain and establish this Constitution." That doesn't contemplate any of these policy initiatives that we've seen in recent years. Doesn't say anything about penny initiatives, doesn't say anything about minimum wage, any of these things that shouldn't be in the Constitution. Certainly contemplates structure of government, all of those good constitutional amendments that we've passed in recent years. This bill, this resolution, in my opinion, strengthens our Constitution. It protects us from diluting our most sacred rights by putting policy into the Constitution. As Rep. Roach said, the Florida Constitution has been amended extensively. If you look in our rule book, we have 122 pages of the Florida Constitution. We only have 9 pages for the United States Constitution, which obviously governs many more people and has endured for much longer. In terms of the current language of the Article 11 that Mr. Templin read, the passage he read said, "The power to propose the revision or amendment of any portion or portions of this Constitution by initiative is reserved to the people." It's still reserved to the people under this proposed resolution, because it says that you can change the structure of the government or the structure of the Constitution. So none of that goes away, the power to revise or amend any portion or portions of the existing Constitution. That still lies with the people, and it can still be done through the constitutional initiative process. And as for the suggestion that people wouldn't be able to participate in amending the Constitution, we've had dozens of public appearances just today. There was a suggestion of elitism, and if there is going to be elitism in the amendment of our Constitution, I would rather it be the people's elected representatives rather than some out-of-state interest like George Soros, who has been able to buy amendments to our Constitution time and again. As to the suggestion that it's not that hard to amend the Constitution, every election that I can remember, we've had an initiative amendment on the ballot that has passed. Every year it happens. I can't get the, we couldn't get the double ratification last year, so it's frankly the legislature that's having a harder time than the initiative process getting amendments to the Constitution, ironically enough. And very few states have the initiative process. Almost every state in the union has bicameralism and presentment. The one exception is a unicameral legislature. Many fewer states have this initiative process. And this language, by the way, it comes from Illinois. This comes from the Illinois Constitution. Okay, it's certainly no conservative bastion up there. This comes from the Illinois Constitution. It's been in the Illinois Constitution since 1970, precisely for the reasons that I have stated. Would appreciate your favorable vote on this resolution. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Beltran. Sanjay, please call the roll.
Representative Perez?
Yes.
Thompson? Smith?
Yes.
Bardeman?
No.
Bardeman? Brennan?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Clemens?
Yes.
Daly? Excused. Grawl?
Yes.
Ingoglia?
Yes.
Hillebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Coster?
Yes.
Lamarca?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Silvers?
No.
Stevenson? Excused. Tant?
No.
Valdez?
Nope.
Congratulations, Representative Beltran, as your bill passes.
Chairman, thank you, committee.
Well, members, that will get us towards the end of our agenda today. I did want to quickly recognize my wife and daughter that are in the front as they made the trip from Miami for Disney Princess Picture Day or something like that. So, Camila, wanted to say hello to her. Yes, ma'am.
She didn't vote. She voted yes.
Okay, members, we had a motion for reconsideration by Representative Thompson, who voted in favor of the bill. And so by Rep. Thompson moving to reconsider the vote on HJR 1127, which passed, are there any questions on the motion for reconsideration? Seeing none, is there any debate on the motion for reconsideration? Representative Thompson.
Thank you. I voted so that I would be in a position to have us really consider what we're doing here. This is a very important vote that we're taking. You heard Representative Beltran talk about how members are elected, re-elected year after year. And in order to give us more time to think about the impact of what this bill proposes, I voted on the prevailing side, which puts me in a position to request reconsideration. And so, members, I'm asking you to vote no in favor of the people of the state of Florida so that their voices can be heard and that they will have an impact in the Constitution that governs them. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative. All in favor of the motion, please say yay.
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 All opposed? The motion passes. Sanjay, can you please call the roll on HJR 1127?
Representative Perez?
Yes.
Thompson?
No.
Smith?
Yes.
Vardaman?
No.
Brannon?
Yes.
Byrd?
Yes.
Simmons?
Yes.
Daly excused. Rawl?
Yes.
Ngoglia?
Yes.
Killebrew?
Yes, ma'am.
Costa?
Yes.
LaMarca?
Yes.
Roach?
Yes.
Silvers?
No.
Stevenson? Excuse. Tant?
No.
Valdez?
Nope.
Congratulations, Representative Beltran. Your bill has passed after the motion for reconsideration. Well, members, that will conclude our meeting. That being said, Representative David Smith moves that we adjourn.